Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
In one.
Hello, welcome to the Football Drop Podcast.
Good morning, how are you?
I'm good, mate, I'm alright. It's better than doing this at 6:30, isn't it?
Joe, I was just about to say that. It's a little bit later, we're a little bit more awake. You've clearly had a coffee, I can tell.
Two.
Is that why you were late?
Mate, stone. I was waiting in that fucking lobby for about 20 minutes before you let me in.
Maybe 20 seconds at most. I was finishing my text to you, whinging and moaning.
Yeah. I was approximately 9 minutes late to the call due to IT errors, which I have successfully resolved. And I'm here and are ready to bounce. How are you, my G?
Yeah, I'm okay, mate. I'm okay. I was back in the office yesterday. Yeah. And I was absolutely wired last night. I had such a good day.
Yeah. Yeah?
Genuinely such a good day. It was so nice to be back. So in the office in the morning, our new restaurant in the afternoon, absolutely buzzing my nuts off. And it was so nice to actually be there. See some of the team, see some of the guys, some of the managers, see our exec chef. Yeah, it was just, genuinely a really nice day.
Good.
But
please, man.
I was on the train at
five to six,
didn't
we? Mate. Let's get into it, mate.
Come on, let's go. No, fuck it, let's go.
Sorry, mate. We're on Teams, so we're going to cut each other up for the whole episode.
Yeah, that's what we do best.
Yeah, do you think anyone cares that it's Wednesday morning and we're recording it on a Wednesday morning, so it's going to be released like as soon as we finished, we're going to hit release?
Nah, I don't think that'll be all right about it. They'll be all right about it. We've got probably the most understanding listeners, I think, of any podcast, because they know for a fact that we are disorganised. They know for a fact that we put things late. Like the Vertigo episode a few weeks back. I mean, that was, kind of beyond our control, but they still listened. So, listeners, thank you. Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Yes, so Crouchfest.
Yes.
We went to
Crouchfest 3. Look at that, Jinx.
Yeah.
How good was it, man?
Mate, honestly, I'll be honest, right? I've not been enjoying their podcast as much, probably because ours is so good. So I've not really been enjoying their podcast as much recently. I'll be completely truthful there. And I wasn't really looking forward to it. I was a bit like, it'll be nice to spend some time with the lads, like, that'd be good. But I don't know if I'm really feeling it. It was really good.
Yeah, it was.
The whole day was good.
I kind of get your thoughts there. Like, it has been like the podcast itself, I think is still quite good, but they seem to be pushing all their sponsors at every breath, basically, now. Now, I get it, they're making money, great, good on them, and, you know, they're still having a laugh, but they've got to do that commercial side, so I get it. But it's like every other word is fucking BrewDog now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just like, oh, come on, just stop it. Just get back to, like, the good laughs, having the good content, and just enjoying themselves properly. But the good thing is, I've had a lot more guests on this season.
Mm-hmm.
It is great listening to their stories.
Yeah, that's true. Fast forward 2 years, and we are everything. Every other word is BrewDog or something like that. But
pretty dog, pretty dog, pretty much. See, I'm already halfway there. Pretty fucking dog.
Pretty dog.
Jesus Christ! Oh, what an idiot.
But yeah, we'll probably be like, yeah, it's all right when it's us. But yeah, no, I'm just not really enjoying it. But the day, in general, mate, just a group of lads finding that weaker person from the group, and just letting all day on the beers.
Yeah.
You know, you took it pretty well. You took it pretty well.
Yeah, I was definitely the biggest victim of the four of us for the day. But I will take pride in it because I'm clearly the glue that holds that group together. I was that common denominator.
So it was always going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, but it was a good day nonetheless, apart from the bullying.
It was a good day. It was great. Like, I really enjoyed the music, the atmosphere, the beer. Ears were flowing. It was quality. The next day, I was a bit hangy.
Yeah.
A bit tired. I didn't get much sleep as well. You know, because you come back in and you're wired. It's late, and then you're up early.
Oh,
the next
mate!
Day, there's kids jumping on you.
I could not sleep for hours after.
No.
I think it was
way,
a good hour
wanna,
and a half.
I just want to really emphasise that it was my own child that was jumping on me. I don't just have like random kids.
Do you know what? You didn't need to clarify that, but now I think you're overcompensating for something here. We'll just go to Elevate on a Sunday morning and hope for the best.
Yeah. Might get lucky.
Oh, mate, no, that's no. We don't even. We can't joke about that shit. We can't joke about this shit.
We'll move on.
But how good was Tom Grennan performing?
Tom Grennan, mate. Yeah, he can sing.
Considering he'd come over from LA literally that afternoon.
Yeah, especially for it. But my favourite, mate, Rudimental. When I saw them, that they were there, I was like, holy shit. And then they just smashed it. Absolutely smashed it.
They were just, they were insane. And I think the sound was good, but their show just made it so much more.
Really, really good. Yeah, I really enjoyed that. I think the biggest take home from that, though, was when we was talking about, we was having a laugh, like, oh, you know, who do you reckon's the bitch, blah, 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 blah. And then I think we got our answer.
This, hang on, before you say this, I just need to say, on this podcast, this is probably the highlight of the 5 years we have been friends. This one moment, I think this is a top three moment in our friendship. It was that, the Subway burps. That's definitely up there. But I got my own back as well.
Yeah.
And I can't think of a third at the moment, but it's those two are definitely in the top three for sure. I'm sure there's another one that I'm forgetting.
Probably Cleb.
Cleb's up there, top five, I think. Top five, top ten.
So, by the way, your burps. I'd just be stood there, right, enjoying the show, having a little dance to music, and then every minute, 2 minutes, I'd just get a woof from your lunch. A woof. Even. A whiff.
I wasn't like barking at you, mate. I wasn't doing any boxing or anything.
Nate Dogg for his little woofs when we was boxing with him.
Oh, man.
That was funny.
That's a top 10 moment.
That was a good moment. Yeah. We both just looked at each other. But I'll be honest, I do make some weird noises in the gym now. Like last night, I was trying to train a bit heavy, and yeah, I was making some weird noises. Anyway, let's go. Let's not talk about that. So we sat. So for a small period of the podcast of the Crouch Fest, we were sat down. And it was just after we sort of talking about like who's the bitch, blah 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 blah, and there was you who is quite broad. Like I'm not, I get called broad, but you're definitely overshadow me in broadness. And then Joe, who we was with, was also broad.
Yeah.
like you and I was sat in the middle of you two, and you both had your legs wide open. Both had your chest flared. Where's a picture in there? Legs closed. Looked up at you and went, so Ben, who do you think the picture is?
Mate, but why you even asked it. I don't know what was going through your head to ask that question, but all I remember is the look of me coming just looking at you.
I think so, maybe you wasn't a part because you was on one, you was on the other end, but I think Paul and Joe were talking about who was the bitch in their friendship, so
right, okay.
I think they must have said that, that's happened, and then I've gone
but just to add insult to injury to that, so the lovely general picked us up from the station.
Oh, I forgot about this. Yeah. Fucking hell.
And what did you ask her? Just for clarification, a bit of an ego boost.
Yeah, for you.
Yeah, no, but you hoped it would be an ego boost for you.
No, I knew the answer. She was fucking desperate for me to ask that question. Oh, Laura, Will's got a question for you.
Oh, it was like, so funny.
While we're fucking on being a fucking dork, you with your train knowledge. Honestly, right? So we're walking up to the train, and I'm like, oh, they don't really have. I haven't got the plug for my phone charger, so I'll just leave it. Like, I've only got the USB one. Are you on the way up there? Well, actually, there's two trains that now have been refurbished, and they've got USB ports underneath the seats. Actually, I'm like, two. He's like, yeah, they've just referred two. I was like, how the fuck do you know that? You went, well, because actually I was lucky enough to sit on one the other day, and I had the USB port all to myself. I was like, what the fuck is going on?
It is shit knowledge. However, when you forget your plug, and you think, oh, so I've got a lead though, and it works out.
Yeah,
it can be helpful knowledge.
It was it was almost like he was just there, like sniffling. Like, oh yeah, well, actually, travels 60 kilometres an hour through Ashford. Is that actually fascinating?
Well, I don't know the speeds or anything, mate. Let's not go too far. Let's not lie about it.
Francois, isn't it? Like, bloody hell, what's going on, mate?
It was so funny.
Yeah.
And before you even say it, why do I have an obsession with odd numbers?
I don't know why you've got an obsession with numbers. It's really odd.
Yeah.
You just pluck a number out. You just be like, yeah, no, I think, you know, we'll get back about 11 minutes past 11, approximately. Well, that's not very approximate, mate. That is quite precise.
It's just like the times, I'm like, I'm sure it's that one. I don't know, maybe it's that one.
So you just go up in odd numbers.
It's just random knowledge.
33, 35, you know, something like that.
God, I'm glad I got this drink. My throat is so sore from laughing so much already.
I know. It's a bit early, isn't it?
It's way too early for this stuff.
Yeah. It's also, we're back bad that we're both drinking fizzy drinks at this time of the morning, but let's move.
We've both done the same thing, though. It makes me feel a bit better about myself.
I saw you had it, so I went and got one.
So, yes, Crouch Fest was good fun, though. Football. Hmm?
What a weekend of footy, though, mate.
Oh, mate, it was a fun-filled weekend. There was.
Should we move on to football now?
Right. Yeah, we might as well.
Let's do that. Let's move on to the football.
Hey guys, here at the Football Drop Podcast, we'd love to hear all your comments, feedback and funny stories. If you'd like us to share them on the pod, please email us at footballdroppodcast@hotmail.com. Thank you.
Controversy of VAR. Shall we start there?
So, we can. Yeah, let's just do that. So, there's a couple of games. So, let's not go through it game by game. Let's just talk about some of the highlights, right? So, I think the games were Arsenal-Newcastle, Sheffield-Wolves, and that fucking box office game at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium on Monday night. It was incredible, really. But... Do you think it's VAR's fault, or do you think it's the system and the people behind VAR don't know how to make VAR work?
That's a very good question. I think it's more heavily weighted towards the people don't know how to use it. But I think the way we use it generally, and you know when we go and why we go to VAR, I don't think is quite right either. I think, you know, the people that are actually doing VAR, they're not footballers or ex-footballers or whatever. So they don't actually necessarily understand fully how a footballer's, you know, body will work in that position, you know, jumping, you know, when you jump for a ball, jump for a header or whatever it may be, or when you go for a tackle, like the angle you're going in and the speed you're going in and things like that, and like a little bit of a push in the back, if you're in the air, you're going to go down. You know, if you're off balance slightly, it doesn't matter how much of a little push it could be. You could be an absolute unit of a person. This person could be skinny as a rake. But if you're off balance and they push you just that little bit hard enough, you're going down.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's the people not necessarily analysing it and evaluating what's going on well enough for me. I think VAR should be ex-footballers.
Well, I think there should be... I was just going to say that. I think there should be an ex-footballer or an ex-something like that, an ex-coach, you know.
It should be a ref. A ref and a player. A ref and an ex-player.
Yeah. Or two refs and a player, because...
No, too many people, then.
There could... Trouble is, who'd you get? You get an ex-player. Say you get Alan Shearer in. He could be looking at the table and being like, oh, this will affect Newcastle. Actually, I'm going to say, so you need his input, but he shouldn't have the final decision. It should be the referee. But that being said, I don't want to say Alan Shearer is going to necessarily do that and like knock his integrity at all. I'm not saying that.
No, just an example. But the ref can do the same thing, because the ref still support. Yeah, probably. Of course he does. He listens to the rest of his football back. He's like, Joe, I was really good in that one. Let's listen to the football drop. He's like, let's see if Will's bashed me this week. but you know, with the referee side of things, they still support players, support teams. They have to, you know, let them know before they actually become a ref, so they're not involved in those sorts of games. Players can do the same thing. Can't be involved with teams that they played for in the past and things like that. It's just an example. You can have a host of them, all as part of it. They're only doing one night a week of that, so you can have like the pundits that do all these sorts of things as well. They could be involved.
Yeah, makes sense.
And I think you need a defender and an attacker if you're going to do that.
Yeah, it's not work. I think there are better ways to make it work. I think the thing for me though, with it all, is it's up for debate. So I've spoken to quite a few people. I've listened to a few different sort of podcasts. I've watched it myself. So looking at the Newcastle Arsenal game, that goal. Just looking at the goal for the time being, we can come on to the other instance within that game. It's definitely a push from. It was Joel Linton, wasn't it, on Gabriel, and Anthony Gordon stuck it away. I thought it was, for me as a gooner, I thought 100% it was a foul.
Yeah, I thought it was a foul.
I've heard other people say it's a bit soft. Shouldn't be. Wouldn't have been a foul. And I thought, okay, you know, thinking about the teams that they support, and there's been a few that don't really give two shits either way, because Newcastle and Arsenal are quite in similar positions in the league, so doesn't matter. So they're still saying it's not a foul. So it seems to me like that is up for debate, actually, whether that was a foul or not. So that, for me, then means, and it pains me to say it, it's not clear and obvious. So should VAR have chalked it off? Maybe not.
I mean, yeah, it is a point, but I think that sort of challenge over the pitch is two hands on the back. One's very high on the back and almost the back of the head. That's given on the pitch. If that's in midfield, that's a free kick. That's a quick free kick and go. It's in the box. Now, the lead up to stuff like that, you know, we'll talk about in a sec, but I see that as that's a foul. And that should be chalked off, and that's, you know, a free kick to us, kind of in the box kind of situation.
100%, mate. I completely agree. I think, personally, my thoughts are, it's a foul, it shouldn't have been a goal. The referee for that game, though, this kind of brings up my previous point of whether VAR is utilised correctly, because I'm not sure the referee was good enough for that game. I mean, you look at the Havertz challenge.
Yeah, that's a very dark amber, isn't it?
It's probably a red. If that was Joel Linton going in on Havertz, we'd probably say he deserves a red card. We saw
Bruno G. Bruno.
Punch.
Elbow, wasn't it? Elbow, yeah. Head,
and we're like, that's got to be a red. So, again, it should have been probably 10 each. And the goal I thought was a foul. So for me, I think it was unfair. I think Arteta's statement afterwards, and then Arsenal sort of followed that up with their own statement supporting him, was very admirable of Arsenal, but I'm not sure it was the right thing to do. I think managers need to be honest with the way they're feeling. I think that's okay. And actually, we discussed that in our podcast that we did yesterday with Jerry, which is coming up on Friday. Yep. Just to plug that. So I think the honesty is good, but I think the statement from Arsenal was maybe a little bit too far.
Gerard, I totally agree with you on the statement side of things. I think it's brilliant. what Arteta is saying, as an Arsenal fan, and this is the biasness coming out for a sec, I obviously totally agree with him, and it's great that he's speaking his mind and whatever, but as a neutral, you will get really pissed off with stuff like that. Especially as a month ago, we were saying, no, we need to let VAR do it. They're going to make mistakes. They're going to do this. You can't chop and change that. But, as you said, he's speaking his mind at the time. So, yes, you're going to have inconsistency. You know, we change our mind on a weekly basis minute basis sometimes, about things that we talk about on here, just as an example. So, as a general football fan, surely you want managers to be, you know, upfront, honest. Big Ange does the same thing. If he's not happy about something, he's like, well, it is what it is. I can't do anything about it, but I don't agree. He doesn't go into it as much as Arteta did, and, you know, doing his squealing and screeching about it, saying it's a disgrace. You know, it is from our perspective as Arsenal fans, and he's speaking what the Arsenal fans will see and what we're thinking and feeling. But the statement from the club...
But also, it was... A couple of months ago, there was a VAR decision that went in Arsenal's favour, and Arteta was like, you know, these people are humans. We've got to be patient.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean.
So it was, you know, it's quite funny. But to stick with the VAR thing, let's go to the Wolves game with Neto, wasn't it, who was sent off in the 100th minute or whatever it was. And it was a carbon copy of it was Hee Chan, wasn't it, who gave away a penalty the week before.
Yeah.
And you're like, how is that? Then it's not a penalty. That is not a penalty. And I can see why Gary Jones, as I like to call him, is fuming about it.
Why do you make up these people's names?
Because I get confused with who's who, like, mate.
Rich Atkinson, I get it completely. That's funny.
Yeah.
But yeah.
What did I call the old Leicester goalkeeper? I can't remember what it was. Anyway,
Richard Walker.
Yes, yeah, random.
Yeah. Danny Ward, so, Richard Walker.
So what do you think of that, the Neto one? And
it wasn't.
By the way, Sheffield getting their first win. Congrats.
I didn't think we'd see that this season, to be honest.
No,
I didn't think I'd see it.
Me neither.
Yeah, I feel for Wolves. I really do feel for Wolves. They didn't deserve to lose that. It's just another stupid, stupid decision yet again, in my opinion. It's just, I spoke to so many people about.
He's putting that at the tackle, isn't he?
Yeah, he's made the attempt initially, but he's withdrawing from that. But I just don't understand what happens in that VAR room. I don't get it, what that thought process is. It's just totally different. Now, don't get me wrong, I appreciate they will know the rules generally, you know, tons more than what we will do as, you know, average fans, but there's got to be an interpretation to some degree. Mate, you can't even think of people's names properly, let alone the rules.
That's true.
So, yeah.
No, I think it wasn't a foul. He's pulling out of the challenge. He does touch him. That's probably where the argument will come from. But I think it's very harsh. I think Danny Murphy on Match of the Day?
Yeah.
He thinks it should have been a diving.
Yeah, there's so much simulation now as well, and players getting away with it because they're getting better at this play acting stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and I appreciate they can anticipate the challenge, and you know they can make it that way, and you know, it's arguably, it's kind of part of football to a degree.
Yeah.
But they're getting away with it so often. And with VAR, they shouldn't be doing this. I don't know how they're getting away with it with VAR, though.
Yeah.
It just angers me. Just angers me so much. But I don't want to spend this whole episode talking about VAR, really. Well, but there's still one more to
talk
about.
I mean, with the Arsenal one, we didn't even talk whether the ball's in or out. I think it could have been in because, you know, we saw the game in the World Cup where we all thought it was out. And then when they showed that they had or whatever it was called,
the
ball was actually in play. You know, they couldn't draw the lines to see if it was offside. Fair enough. So, you know, it all went against us. We lost the game. We need to collect ourselves now and move on. We've got a game tonight. The Tottenham Chelsea game. What a game, mate!
Oh, I'm so annoyed. I didn't watch it, but I caught it, mate. Yeah,
I was getting
it
afterwards.
Bombarded with voice notes from fan favourite Ali Campbell. Like, mate, it should be 10 men. They should be down to 9. This is bullshit. And he's like, oh my god, Nicholas Jackson. He's the worst striker we've ever had in life. And then at the end of it, Nicholas Jackson hat-trick! I lived the game's emotions literally through his voice clips.
Through Ali.
Yeah.
It was a funny one. I mean, Udogi should have gone for a two-footed tackle. Didn't, but did go eventually. Who was the other? Oh, Romero got a red card as well. Definitely a red card. Probably could have gone sooner.
Romero is always there, ready for a red card. Every game he plays.
We was at football and JP said, oh, Tottenham are down to 10. And someone went, who's got sent off? And he went, have a guess. And they went, Romero.
It's
just like, everyone knows. but I went and caught up with the game after footy and... Honestly, it was unbelievable. I mean, Chelsea were not good against 10 men. Against 9, it was literally put the ball over the top. Sterling will run onto it, pass it into Nicholas Jackson, who'll have an open goal, and he'll score. Basically, that was two of the goals, and then Jackson for the third was for his third round the keeper in the back of the net. So it was such a good game. There were so many. VAR incidents. Thank you. that happened. Honestly, it was arguably one of the best games of football of the Premier League era.
Yeah, typically I didn't watch it. I sat there with Laura watching Friends. For the 57th time of our relationship.
Wowzers.
Yeah.
Wowzers trousers.
Yeah, a few other good games though, wasn't there over the weekend?
There was, mate. Yeah. Should we go to the Man United game?
How lucky were they, man?
So lucky. They're fortunate that Fulham sold their top striker and can't now score.
Yeah.
And they also couldn't defend in the last dying minutes, where it ping-ponged around and Fernandez managed to hoof it into the back of the net.
Yeah, it was gutting. It was gutting to see them win. Because obviously Ten Hag's under significant pressure. They're not playing good football. And they didn't deserve that.
I think he's still under pressure.
Yeah, oh, definitely, yeah. This isn't relieved much.
You look at Rashford, the way, you know, if you look at the comparison between the way he handled the Sancho incident and the way that he has handled the Rashford incident, it's just ridiculous. It's Rashford, after a drubbing by their closest rivals, has gone out on the beers. It was his birthday. I mean, arguably, you wouldn't cancel your plans like that, regardless of whether you've been dumped. Alan Shearer disagreed on the Rest Is Football. If you listen to that, but
are you working as a rep for the Rest Is Football or something today?
Mate, honestly, I am. This season, so I listened to a few podcasts. So, like, Parents in Hell, Josh Widdicombe says he's completely fallen out of love with football. I've gone the opposite way, mate. I am. I just want to do something football related all of the time.
Yeah.
I just love listening, talking about just everything football for me is fantastic. So yeah, I'm well into my football.
Yeah, I agree. I totally want to do the same. But you are training to be a coach soon, I hear.
Well, I don't know. I'm in talks to
talk to sign a deal.
I won't tell you which club, but just watch out, Poch.
Oh,
I'm wearing blue today.
Wow.
I'm joking, of course. Wow. Yeah, so yeah, Man United. Crap. So
shocking.
Brentford, West Ham.
What an entertaining game.
Neil Mopay scored. Arguably, it was. I don't know if he meant it, but
goal's a goal. He got credited with a goal.
Was it last year? Like April last year was the last time he scored a goal.
Yeah. Was it 42 games? 40 something 44. Games it was. 44 was it?
It was 43, 45 between that sort of number. he honestly, you think, right? He hasn't scored for well over a year, 18 months. He's played for Brighton, Everton, and now Brentford as a striker.
Yeah.
How does someone manage to... I could probably go 44 games without scoring, but none of them are signing me.
But what's even more confusing is Brentford signed players on lots of stats and data. What stats have they looked at to say, Neil Mopay, absolutely, let's get him in.
He was doing all right at Brentford before that, wasn't he?
Well, no, he's at Brentford now, mate.
Wasn't he at Brentford before he went to Brighton? Isn't this his return to Brentford?
Oh, was he? Oh, I didn't know that.
Pretty sure. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was. So he went to Brighton from Brentford and now he's gone back.
Oh, okay.
Because he was saying, I'm so glad to be back at Brentford. I love the fans here. It's great. And he was basically saying, Everton, you dog shit.
Wow. I mean, we don't like to be too biased on here, but yeah, Everton are really shit. I don't want to upset any Everton fans, but we've slagged them off quite a lot.
I feel like you're going the right way about upsetting Everton.
they got a good draw at the weekend.
Stay away from Liverpool. They did get a good draw at the weekend against Brighton.
Against Brighton.
The Neil Mope Derby, as it's called.
I didn't really see much of the highlights of these games, to be fair, but it seems like just a one-all draw. Brighton are sort of dropping a little bit. I saw that De Zerbi came out and was like, yeah, well, you lose three players in your team for injury, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, mate, like, Chelsea have lost 10 players. Arsenal lost a few.
I think Sheffield United are the worst, aren't they, at the minute?
Yeah,
they can't seem to keep their players fit.
No,
they just
exactly.
got I've forgotten who it was. I've forgotten his name. But they just got the youngster back, and he went off injured again at the weekend. Hang on, let me just find his name, because that's really going to bug me.
Yeah, I think it's just excuses. You know, they're just making excuses of trying to deflect the attention from the losses, which I get it, that's what good managers should be doing, but it's just a bit of a cop-out. You can't blame three injuries.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. No, you're right.
Man City,
yes.
Bournemouth.
Mate, how weird that Man City scored 6 goals and Haaland didn't get one.
Mate, as soon as we saw that City was smashing him, I was like, yes, dream team Haaland, he's back as captain this weekend. No, didn't score a single goal, came off at half-time.
Didn't. I know, but he bagged a brace last night when it don't count.
He did, yeah, he did. So I'm hoping he'll be back for the weekend game, so that'll be all right.
Yeah, but, mate, Doku.
How insane is that guy right now?
When he joined, I thought he'd just be like a bit of a squad player. Mate, he got 4 assists and a goal.
I know, it's ridiculous.
It's insane.
And Joe, what's weird, he still didn't get a 10 out of 10 rating. He got a 9.7. How can you not get a 10 for that?
Yeah.
Blimey.
Yeah, how do you not get a 10 for that? You're right.
Yeah, what do you need to do to get a 10 is just ridiculous. But he's the new kid on the block. Nobody knows what he's like. Nobody knows what skills he's got, what trickery he's got. You can watch, you know, all the highlights you want. But if he seems to, his legs do one thing and his head almost does a dummy at the same time. So you literally have no idea what he's going to do. I don't think even he knows what he's going to do sometimes. I think he just goes. He's like, oh yeah, better go. But he's just so quick off the mark. He can do these things.
Yeah. Yeah, he is, yeah. He's an unreal talent, and fair play to Manchester City for picking him up. Quite cheap as well, arguably. I think Iraola is... I think that was expected. If you think back to when Scotty Parker was sacked, Iraola can't be too far away. They must be really, really disappointed with their decision to part ways with Jones, as we call him on this podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. But I think this week was a free hit anyway. They got the win last week. That's a bit of pressure sort of relieved on him to a certain degree. That was a game that they would have expected to win. There's no way they would have expected to win, especially at City as well. That would have just been a case of here we go kind of thing, you know?
I appreciate it was the previous owners at Bournemouth that did it to Scotty Parker. But Parker, you know, I mean, we loved everything about his fashion. Not much about his football, but he was playing lots of the top half teams, lost, just coming into a run, and he got the boot before that. Then O'Neill had a really good run, kept them up, got him into a good position, got the boot. Iraola's come in. What's going on?
Yeah, I think what was it they said in the summer when they announced him as manager? Something like, we wanted someone who's a bit more high profile to be able to sort of kick us on. But nobody in this country had heard of him. Like, across Europe, yeah, granted, he would obviously have been more well-known than what O'Neill would have been, of course. But, yeah, it's just a case of like, oh, okay. And he's done nothing. I don't think they're playing better football.
I think they're on their way to playing better football. But no, they're not playing better football. He did well. He was at Bilbao, wasn't he? He's kind of trained with Arteta. And the likes of those people from that sort of area in Bilbao, but yeah, I don't understand it. I can kind of see their logic of pushing on, but I'm not sure Iraola was that person. But you know, Let's see what happens. But so far, no good. Similar to Burnley.
Yeah, they're struggling, aren't they?
Away loss. Yeah. Sorry, they were at home. Away, Palace were away.
Oh my god! Go get another coffee, mate. Go get another coffee. We'll perk you up a little bit. 2-0. You know, straightforward enough. Palace win. Arguably one of the bigger shocks is, well, we've got two shocks here, but Forest beat Villa 2-0.
Forest beat Villa 2-0, yeah. Forest look very good on certain days. They seem to be playing quite well, especially at home. It's a bit of a fortress at home. Biggest pitch in the Premier League, but you didn't know that.
I didn't know that, no.
Yeah, it's they're playing well. Mangala is playing well. Awoniyi's playing, and he's you know, picked up where he left off. I know he didn't score, but he was quite good in the game.
No, it always looks
very
dangerous.
Good Villa. Yeah, Villa, mate.
Mate, Martinez's own goal.
Yeah.
That was well, I don't think he went down because it was on target, but he sort of palmed it with his top hand and then just spun. Went massively high in the air, spun and just went back in the goal.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't think he needed to do that much of a spectacular save.
You've got a beef against spectacular saves, haven't you? Because who was it that did one?
Anana does it all the time. Game? Yeah.
Yeah, he like palmed the ball away and did like a little front, put his legs up, and you're like, oh, he doesn't need to do that.
Yeah, it's don't understand it. Why? Critical. Why do you need to do that?
Is it because you can't do it?
Probably a little bit. But it's also, I listen to the Seaman Says podcast. Obviously, David Seaman's like, obviously an old school goalie. He hates all that sort of stuff as well. And he was with Sam, he was interviewing Sam Johnston this week, and he said it on the podcast at the weekend. He's like, why do you have to keep going for these like stupid spectacular saves? He's like, everyone said, oh yeah, goalie, yeah, he's great with his feet. He's like, yeah, but how fucking good is he with his hands though? That's what he needs to be good at. Hands first, feet second when you're a goalie. He's like, if you're in trouble, you just hoof it up the pitch. That gets your team out of trouble and then you regroup and go from there.
That's not the modern game though, is it? The modern game's all about playing out from the back.
It is, yeah.
Absorbing that pressure and playing out from the back.
That's it is, but to a certain extent, you still need to be very good with your hands.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
It's that defensive side of things. But yeah, big loss for Villa, that. I think that big potentially loss. Could take the wind out of their sails a little bit, because they've been in fucking sensational form, haven't they?
Yeah, although they got thrashed by Newcastle and then went on quite a good winning streak, so... Yeah,
maybe they could continue. Could be a bit of a blip, who knows?
They're not great away from home. Forest are good at home, so, you know, in theory, we should have really predicted that, but we didn't. One we couldn't have predicted, or would never have predicted, was the Luton Town 1, Liverpool 1.
I know, that's a big, big point for Luton, isn't it? I think they arguably deserve to win it. Liverpool scored the 93rd minute, 94th minute, Luis Diaz?
It was actually the 95th.
95th, was it? Oh, should have guessed that, 93rd or 95th. What I normally would have gone for.
Yeah, to be honest, I thought you would have done. I'm a bit disappointed you didn't.
No, madness.
Written stars for him to score, and I hope that situation for him and his dad being kidnapped gets resolved.
Apparently, it's all progressing positively.
I think it's favourable, isn't it? Which is great news for him. But fair play for him to come on and play. I think it's probably what he needed to take his mind off of it for a minute, but. Done well, but yeah, Luton. I mean, you say, you know, I understand what you're saying about Luton. Probably could have won. The amount of chances that Darwin Nunez. Jeez.
Yeah.
Honestly, that one where Salah probably misheaded it, and it was just there for the taking for Nunez, and he skied it.
I know. Do you see Salah's response after? It was like rolled on the floor. It's like, what the fuck is going on with you?
Well, I think he was pissed off because his header didn't go on target because he wanted to score himself.
Yeah, naturally.
But then he fucked it up. But he was like, oh, it's gone straight to Nunez. Open goal. What?
But then you see Nunes in midweek in the League Cup against Bournemouth. His first touch was poor. It nearly went out of play. He ran, got it, recovered the ball, did two or three touches with it, and then curled it in the corner of his right foot. You know, yeah. How can you do that but be so poor to begin with? It's just so hot and cold. Yeah. But when he gets consistency, he will be incredible. But he just needs to get that consistency.
Yeah, I've no doubt about it. You talk to a lot of people who say he is the real deal. He is the real deal. So, you know, you've got to take it from them, haven't you?
You've got to, mate. And that's the roundup, mate. That is the Premier League weekend.
That is the Premier League weekend. Do we want to go back and do a little bit of world football? Because we've had some games in Saudi.
Yeah, let's go and do that, shall we?
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, guys. Make sure you're following us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter so you don't miss a thing. How could you? Instagram is at Football Drop Podcast. Twitter is at Football Drop Pod. Thanks, Will, for that. Or just search us on Facebook, Football Drop Podcast.
Where do you want to kick it off? Saudi?
Kick off. Well, actually, can I just have one shout out to Girona?
Yes.
Who stood top of the La Liga. Or they stand top of La Liga, because Real Madrid actually drew at the weekend, didn't they? Incredible feat from a team who haven't spent a lot, who haven't done a lot. I mean, they spent a bit, but not a lot. They lost a couple of players in the summer as well. Absolutely smashing it, and well deserved. It just goes to show what a team spirit can do from a club who is sort of second, maybe arguably third at times in the Catalonian area. So fair play, mate. They're doing really well.
Buzzing for it.
I'm hoping they continue it. And I would say would probably be, if they can continue it, would be more of a shock than Leicester City when they won it. I just want to sort of bring up what you said is that if they do win La Liga, you will present the FDP in your underwear in a similar way that Gary Lineker did on Match of the Day. So thanks
for that,
I've
never said that, and that's not happening. Never happened,
so
never
let's
will.
Let's move on to the Saudi League. Sorry, I didn't hear what you said then. So just a couple of sort of, we'll go back to kind of the last couple of weeks. So let's start with Al Ittihad and Al Hazim. 2-2 draw there, mate. I bet you're surprised about that one, aren't you?
I'm shocked by that.
Al Hilal beat Al Ahly Saudi 3-1. Al Nassr 3-1 winners away at Al Fiha. Al Etifak and Al Weda was a 3-2 win for Al Etifak. And then sort of last weekend just gone, because they play again tomorrow. So we had Al Hilal beat Al Fatah 2-0 away from home. Al-Shabaab beat Al-Ittihad. Shocking result there. 1-0 home win there for Al-Shabaab. And then Al-Nasir beat Al-Khalij 2-0. Al-Ali Saudi beat Al-Riyadh 3-0. So all of those results leaves Al-Hilal top of the table without losing a game. Al-Nasir in second place. Al-Ittihad and Al-Etifak, or one of the big spenders over the course of the summer, are sitting in 6 and 7 on exactly the same points. Lost 3, drawn 3, won 6. So that's quite a surprise, actually, isn't it?
Considering the amount they've spent, yeah. You expect them to be fighting at the top there.
Yeah. Okay, so the MLS. So the MLS season's finished now, isn't it? We're into the... to the playoffs.
Yes.
So we have got, so I can't remember where I got to last time. So have I done anything on this?
No. Not for a while. Not for 2 weeks.
No, it hasn't. Did I even do it 2 weeks ago? I was just trying to think now.
Pretty sure.
So,
but tell us anyway. Tell us some news, mate.
So Cincinnati, Orlando City, Columbus, Philadelphia, New England, Atlanta and Nashville went through from the Eastern Conference. That's the one where Inter Miami finished 14th out of 15, which was a bit of a shock. In the Western Conference, St. Louis, Seattle Sounders, LAFC, Houston Dynamo, Real Salt Lake, Vancouver, Dallas all went through, and then you had the qualifiers of Sporting KC, San Jose, New York Red Bulls and Charlotte. So where we find ourselves now is Orlando City have beaten Nashville 1-0 away from home. Atlanta United beat Columbus 4-2. It's really hard to say those, like real Salt Lake City and Atlanta United without saying Atalanta and Real.
Yeah, it's really difficult, isn't it?
Real Salt Lake City beat Houston Dynamo 5-4 on penalties yesterday. LAFC have beaten Vancouver. Sporting KC have beaten St. Louis. FC Dallas have beaten Seattle Sounders 3-1. And Cincinnati beat New York Red Bulls on penalties 8-7. So all still to play for. It's an interesting league, that one, isn't it? I don't really understand kind of why they do it like that. Is it because the travel is too far?
Yeah, that's what they do with the NBA, the NFL and everything. Yeah.
Is that what they do?
Yeah, so you have the Eastern and Western conferences for everything, and then you do the playoffs from there.
Okay. Right, okay. I guess that makes sense.
Cool, good silence. Yeah, good silence. Excellent.
So, sorry. Yeah, I was just thinking. Okay, so, should we go to the WSL?
Yes, what's been happening? Let's finish on a high, hopefully, shall we?
Oh, okay. Why would that be a high?
Because I know a result from a certain team in North London over the weekend.
Do you?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Oh, okay, what do you know, mate?
I know that Arsenal beat Man City 2-1, which was brilliant. That's a massive win for Arsenal ladies.
Huge win for the Arsenal ladies.
And also big news that Emma Hayes is leaving Chelsea at the end of the season.
Oh, wow, okay.
After 11 years.
Where's she going?
Apparently to go and manage the women's national team in America.
Oh, right, yeah, I did see that. Thank you.
You're welcome. Little bit of knowledge for you.
Well done, mate. Well done, well done, well done. So I think they had an international break, didn't they? So I'm actually just from the weekend gone to update on. So Chelsea thrashed Villa 6-0. Villa are not
firing
all cylinders at all, are they? As you say, Arsenal beat City 2-1. Liverpool beat Leicester 2-1. Tottenham and Everton had a 1-1 draw. West Ham lost to Bristol City at home 3-2. And Brighton and Manchester United drew 2-2. So, the league table is an interesting one, mate. My signal has completely just gone, so I don't really know what it is yet. Here we go. Chelsea are top. I didn't know that. City are second. Tottenham in third. Aston Villa in bottom place. They've not won a game.
Wow.
Which is quite surprising, because they've got some decent players.
They have. They've invested a little bit in their squad, didn't they?
From the
club generally as well. So that's a bit of a shock. But they'll pick up some points, I'm sure. Just takes a little while.
Yeah, I'm sure they will. Arsenal are in fifth place, for those gooners, if you're wondering.
Excellent.
That's about us, mate.
Wicked. Well, thanks for doing that in the morning.
Go on. I thought of something earlier, and I thought we need to talk about it.
Go on.
Because I don't think we have spoken about the Ballon d'Or yet, have we?
Did we not? No, because it was the Monday night, wasn't it?
Mm.
What's your thoughts?
I think it's very, very harsh on Haaland.
Yeah. Yep, I totally agree. This is going to be a Pavel Nedved, Thierry Henry situation in years to come.
I don't think it is, because I don't want to take anything away from TT, really. But I think if Pavel Nedved won the World Cup, you'd understand it a little bit more. Messi did win the World Cup. It was all about Lionel Messi. It's always all about Lionel Messi. So I can kind of see that, but I just don't.
But if
it
you
feels
say
unfair
that,
on Haaland still.
Julian Alvarez scored a load of goals in the World Cup and won the World Cup. He also scored a fair few goals in the league, in the Champions League, in the League Cup, in the FA Cup, and he won the treble with Man City. So on that premise, Julian Alvarez should have won Ballon d'Or. Because he won the World Cup. He was a main man in that team.
I see where you're going. It's not quite as simple as that, is it?
No, but of course it's not. Yeah, if it was, we'd be running the Ballon d'Or.
Yeah.
We'd do it all.
I don't know that we would.
Yeah, because, mate, if it's something simple, we'd be able to do that.
I don't know, mate, I can't say real Salt Lake City.
Or Atlanta United.
Oh, you just said, or Atlanta.
No, I said Atlanta, and I made sure I said it like that just to be an idiot.
So we are stupid. But yeah, well done, Leo. Unlucky Erling.
It is mad to say, though, Messi's won 8 Ballon d'Ors. 8. No one's ever going to do that again.
Oh, I don't know. Nobody's ever going to do that. So for the next 10 years, who is going to challenge Haaland for the Ballon d'Or?
Mbappe, Bellingham, if he keeps up this trajectory. Julian Alvarez could potentially do that. You know, if Alvarez moved to a different club and was the main man starting, if he delivers what he's done so far throughout his career, he could do the same. There's always going to be someone else that can have an absolutely blinding year. Look at Benzema.
I can't.
He had an insane year. Won it. Lewandowski finished, he got Ballon d'Or in the end after smashing in 4,000 goals for Bayern.
Yeah.
Harry Kane could even potentially be up there next season with the goals he's scoring for Bayern. And if he leads England, to an international tournament victory, he's the captain. He could then arguably be doing that.
I can certainly see your logic with Bellingham and Kane. Alvarez, I'm not too sure about. Mbappe, possibly. But you've got all of those players in and amongst Erling Haaland, who...
Absolutely.
So Haaland and Bellingham, you can kind of see it being... But like them, I know it's slightly different, but like Ronaldo and Messi.
It could be. I mean, Erling Haaland, I think he's arguably, a different calibre altogether because of the pure goals that he scores. But as an all-round footballer, I don't think he's got it all. But there's other players that can come in and have a Pavel Nedved kind of season. And people go, wow, it's amazing, because he's done it in big games and crucial games, whatever it may be, and get that traction. Like, Bellingham's done well for a few seasons. His trajectory's pretty much a straight line, essentially. But there's always someone that can do that. There's always a youngster coming through that could do these sorts of things.
Mm. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, well, thanks for that, mate.
That's okay. Well, thank you for... It's
been a pleasure.
It's been a pleasure. We will put this out probably in the next hour or so, once I've edited.
Well done.
And we'll get it on YouTube later today, hopefully. And we've got obviously a special one that will be released on Friday morning as well for you guys. You get double hit of FDP.
Don't miss that. It's honestly a cracking one.
It is brilliant. Such good insight. We managed to bag a director of football to come on the show and tell us exactly what a director of football does, really. So for the average fans, you don't really necessarily know the ins and outs and what they do. So we managed to get Jerry on and tell us all about it. So yeah, listen out on Friday. But for now, thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for listening to today's episode. Please give us 5-star on your podcast provider, whatever one that may be, and help us #DropThePod.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.